broadcasting from the Unshackled Studios in Melbourne. This is Wilmsfront, brought to you by theunshackled.net. Now here's Tim Wilms.
Hello and welcome to this week's Wilmsfront. Just one show for this week. The date is Wednesday, the 22nd of July, 2020. We are live on the Wilmsfront YouTube and DLive channels. It is just on 7 p.m. here in lockdown and soon to be face-covered Melbourne. So tonight at 11:59 p.m. marks the second week of the reintroduction of the coronavirus lockdown in Greater Melbourne and Mitchell Shire. 3 weeks of lockdown it is for the 10 Northwest Melbourne postcodes. Face coverings will be mandated in lockdown areas for the remaining 4 weeks of the 6 week planned lockdown period. The media has been campaigning for Dan Andrews to implement stage 4 lockdown, whatever that involves. No one has any idea. Dan and the chief health officer have no idea. Media certainly had their hopes up with 484 new active cases confirmed today in the daily press conference. But Dan has told them no further announcement on restrictions at this stage, though the media has had a partial victory with this face covering mandate. So the instruction is, and it's very hard to, they've been constantly updating the website, scrubbing stuff, the Department of Health and Human Services website. So what they're saying now is if you're leaving the house for one of the four essential reasons, you must wear a face covering unless you have what's termed a reasonable excuse, such as eating, drinking, or engaging in strenuous exercise. Apparently, if you're walking alone or walking the dog, you still have to wear a face mask, but that's not even clear. Though it's not outdoors or in private residences where community transmission of the virus is occurring in this second wave, it's inside in workplaces and aged care homes, which are where most of the coronavirus deaths are occurring. Andrews did take a bit of a break from threatening Victorians to remind them that if they are sick but feel that they have to go to work or they'll lose money, the state government will support them with a $1,500 hardship payment. The fine for not wearing or carrying a face covering in Greater Melbourne will be $200, but we shall see how it'll be enforced by the police and retailers tomorrow. I noticed that Dan did give a warnings to Karens not to harass those not wearing face coverings because you don't know their individual circumstance or medical condition. Federally, there was some reform of the JobKeeper program, which expires in September. It will be cut from $1,500 to $1,200 a fortnight for those who are employed full-time and $750 for a fortnight for those who are part-time 24 hours or less. This will help incentivize people to get back to work rather than staying on JobKeeper. So we have less of so-called zombie businesses and jobs. The new dole job seeker will remain at $810 per fortnight. Tomorrow, Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg will deliver a fiscal and budget update. That will be the real horror show, with budget deficits for the next 2 years projected to be over $100 billion. All of us are likely to have died from old age or other natural causes before the cost of this forced economic shutdown is paid back, unless the government decrees that our Reserve Bank just print the debt away with new money. My first featured guest for tonight, he's been busy shaking his head at all of my introduction. One of the unmasked faces and will continue to be unmasked face of the anti-lockdown movement, Craig Cole operates the Facebook page No Consent for We Are Young and Free, which has 5,000 Facebook likes. Craig, welcome to the show.
Up to nearly 7,000 followers now, Tim. So, yeah, it's really coming along.
I think, yeah, I noticed the followers were, do we go by followers or likes?
Oh, the number's bigger on followers, so we'll go with that, mate.
Although they could be people who are just monitoring you. I said likes because they're the people who do like you.
I'm just having a bit of fun, mate, just putting a bit of lighthearted into this seriousness of this matter, so yeah.
And having spoken to you previously, you are still an optimist despite everything that's going down and us entering another unknown tomorrow, I noticed that you describe No Consent as a community education institution providing assistance educating the community relating to the Constitution, your lawful rights, and exposing government corporate corruption. You mainly utilize your page for live logging from your car. And I've noticed, and it's especially important, I've done it on this show, you do it from your car as well, is that the vast majority of people, they don't know what their rights are and think the lockdown restrictions are actually more draconian than they actually are.
Thank you, Tim, for starters, for having me, for asking me to come along, and apologies for taking so long to come on, mate, but and I hope all watching are well. Anyone watching for the first time who's 50-50 or dubious and watching on to sort of get a bit more information, which is what, you know, part of your page is no doubt about, Tim, to inform people that sort of are maybe what's going on here. And the more hardened people like yourself and me that are fully aware of what's happening. Now, just with the page, so I did start. Facebook have been limiting me for quite some time now. So people are commenting that I don't, the No Consent page doesn't come up on their feed. And I used to do a lot of pre-tape posts and upload them, but what I was finding, it would go from, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 views down to about maybe 400 or 500 views because they were limiting the reach there. So I decided to do more live posts. Now, the location of my house, the reception's not that good around here, so a lot of the live posts were breaking up. So I just thought, well, I'll just film in my car. It's more of a personal sort of feel anyway, and the live posts generate a lot more views. So the whole point of the page is to get the message out there. The message, not my fat head, who wants to look at that on a regular basis, but you know, it's more about the message. So you've got to think, sitting in my car at random locations is going to hit more people. So that's what's more important. The message getting out is more important, mate. So that's hence most of the posts from my car these days.
So obviously you're driving around quite a bit, and we're in the second stay at home order. Have you had any disturbances while you've been driving around, whatever it is you're doing?
When you say disturbances, what do you mean by disturbances?
Law enforcement asking where you are.
On the very first, now I'm just going to take you back one thing to what you said earlier. I was listening and you raised some very good points and some things. I just made a couple of notes. Now, they can't even make their own mind up. 1 minute's this, 10 minutes that, they take this down, they take that off. Where's the credibility? Where's the credibility? Now, they are wanting everyone to ruin their lives, take lives. The suicide rates in Victoria, we had the Victorian Health Minister come out last week and said we had 1,000 deaths from suicide. And we've had how many deaths in Victoria from suicides? So from Corona.
Well, it stands at 44 now.
Okay. So we've had 44 deaths recessed, so, and they were mostly elderly people who were pre-existing illnesses.
70s, 80s, 90s, and even 100-year-old died yesterday from coronavirus.
It's a crockish, I'll be careful with the language here. We all know it's BS. We all know it's people are driven by fear, and the media drives that fear. Now, the point what I was making is the media can't even get their story straight because stage four restrictions, we've had stage four restrictions. Remember, it started stage two and all, then it went to stage three, then we got released out to stage four. When they locked us down 2 weeks ago, that went, the hot spot areas went back to stage three. So what the media is talking about, who friggin' knows? Because they're getting their stages mixed up. The higher the number, the less restrictions. So I don't know what they're talking about going back to stage four. And if anyone wants to dispute me on that, just follow the process the whole way through how it's gone. And what we were told 2 weeks ago, oh, hotspots will be locked back into stage three. Well, then why are the media saying we'll get locked back into stage four? So it just shows the media And also, let's not forget the grubby report that Channel 7 ran on Saturday night using the file footage from the Italian hospital 4 months ago and airing it as if it was here in Melbourne on the weekend. That is...
Oh, yeah, let's have a look at... This is the... I've put the screenshot up. CBS said it was New York in March 25. Sky News UK said it was Italy March 22. And then 7 News Melbourne said that this was a Victorian hospital. Well, they didn't actually say it was a Victorian hospital. They just put the graphic underneath it because they said...
While they were talking about the so-called pandemic here... Yeah. They use mind games.
Have you also seen the dummies on ventilators? I've seen a few of those. This is 7 News Perth last Thursday.
I mean, if even the most ardent people that have bought into this, surely they have to look at that and start questioning. Surely. Like, just excuse my voice too, by the way. I've been on the phone and talking all week. I mean, I even think I talk in my sleep these days, which is a scary thought.
I just thought your voice was naturally husky.
That's just, it sounded bad. Look, I, excuse me. Oh, everyone run and hide. I coughed.
Oh, no.
Isn't it just... sad the way if you clear your throat out in public or manage to have a bit of a cough, the whip around the head's like, you know, it's like, it's just really sad to see people's reaction that people are living in fear. I actually feel sorry for them and sad for them that they're being mentally manipulated by the media to the point where they whip around in a panic if someone coughs in public. I mean, for God's sake, that is really sad. Really, really sad that someone can be intimidated that much by the fear the media drives. It's just astounding.
Well, because people have coughed randomly throughout time. I was just watching, this is a bit of a tangent here, that quiz BBC show about that millionaire contestant who allegedly cheated with coughing. And I was thinking when watching it, if this was 2020, the whole studio audience would run away if someone was coughing. That just goes.
Attacks, there'd be hyperventilating, there'd be finger pointing, there'd be news reports, drama. Channel 7, like, I would really, and I know it's happening in the background, but we need to speed up the process because people need to be held accountable. And one of the things I'm big on is, do you understand tacit law, Tim? You would.
Well, explain it for the audience.
Okay. Thank you very much. So that's why I'm on here. So tacit law is basically your silence is your consent. That's tacit law. So the government takes that as if you don't complain, your silence is you consenting to what they're doing. That's any corporation. And don't forget, the government is a corporation. We are run by a corporation. And people need to start understanding that. Statute law is the corporation's law. That's why it's called statute law. That's why we have two sets of laws. Has anyone ever wondered to think why we have two sets of laws? Like, because it's the corporation's law. They're unlawful laws that go against the Constitution. Well, they're not even laws. They're unlawful acts and bills. I mean, what's an act? An act's a show, isn't it? It's an act. Who plays in an act? Actors. It's all a fake. It's all a mirage. And I know it's goes against people's cognitive dissonance. And it's because their whole belief system in what they believe to be true is being destroyed. They don't want to, they're not big enough and not courageous enough to put their hand up and say, hey, I may have been lied to here. I may have been taken for a fool here. You know, it's funny, isn't it, Tim? People say, oh, well, no one's going to get the better of me and I don't let take shit from anyone and all the rest of it. But people are happy to take shit from their government and be fooled by their government.
Yeah, and we even have the worst aspect of all of this has been what I call the snitch lines. And thankfully, it hasn't been as bad this time. But with the first lockdown, the snitch lines were getting ridiculous and false calls.
They've created a number. It's a 131 number, apparently.
Don't give it out.
Hey?
Don't give it out on the air.
Oh, well, no one watching this would bother calling it, would they?
I'm just saying, don't spread it around.
Be my love, seriously. Give me some credit. I've got to get that confirmed. It was in a meme, so I do need to confirm that. But it looks like there might be a number for people. Can you imagine the people that would call that? Like, hello, yeah, someone's not wearing a mask, come and get them. Like, what kind of shallow, narrow-minded, like, what kind of sheltered life do you have to be one of those people?
And if it so concerns you, people are out there living their life, breathing the fresh air, if you're so scared of the virus, why don't you just self-isolate completely?
Yeah, what Taiwan does, Taiwan, who's had, since this all started, just over 450 cases in a population of 23 million and only 7 deaths. Now, those were the figures last week. It may have gone up a little bit, but that was it last week. And what they do is quarantine the sick and let everyone else, and everyone's showing any symptoms, they stay home. I mean, that is so easy. It is ridiculous. It is complicated because we're run by corrupt people, because we're run by incompetent people. Corruption and incompetence aren't good bedfellows at all. So,
I mean, look at this second wave. They haven't been quarantining the sick. I mean, the fact that you have healthcare workers and aged care workers, a lot of them are getting infected and then, well, giving it to the most vulnerable. Some of the workers are even getting it in the community. So the vulnerable people in hospital and aged care are supposed to be quarantined. They're not being properly quarantined, but the healthy are.
Yeah, but what are they getting? Are they getting coronavirus or have they got the flu? Because as we know, the test kits don't test. The gentleman who invented the test kit himself, and this was for the SARS epidemic, Carey B. Mullis. Carey spelled with a K-K-R-A-Y-B-Mullis, M-U-L-L-I-S, researching. And he passed away apparently a couple of years ago, but before that he'd come out and said the test kits aren't for... Now, COVID wasn't around then clearly, but the test kits take a little bit of the sample and extrapolate it out, so it magnifies anything. So if that's contaminated, it magnifies that contaminant out as well too. They are not accurate. He said that. They are not accurate test kits. And this is what the World Health Organization are using for the numbers when they're not accurate. This virus is not a killer virus. It is just a bad case of the flu. That's all.
Well,
it is.
The flu does kill people as well. It killed 900 Australians last winter. But we've never feared the flu or locked down the economy.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, all death is tragic. All death is tragic. But can't tell me Daniel Andrews has got no right and is absolutely disgusting for standing up there all righteous saying that he's saving lives by doing all this when we've had 1,000 suicides and only just over 40 COVID deaths. That's not saving lives, mate. That's taking lives. Now, I know a lot about this because I've worked in the community for the last 14 years running programs, helping young people, but also helping people, mature age people with a lot of mental health issues as well too. So I have a lot of contacts and people contact me. Now, when this first happened, and I'm going to name the hospital. We've got to be careful.
Oh, well, don't.
Well, I'll name it on my life. Because right now, Tim, the gloves have to be off, mate, and P's and Q's, and there's no more time for that. No more time for that. Not outright abuse is obviously not warranted and not needed, but directness and firmness and taking the gloves off and playing outside the rules a little bit is probably needed. And when I say playing outside the rules, is naming people. Shaming them. So there was a hospital in the southeastern suburbs that when this all started, they weren't caught there. So people that are suffering severe mental health issues are put on a watch list, and if they're suffering a mental health breakdown, they call the number and it gets put through to the hospital. And then the hospital sends the CAT team out from there, yeah?
Yep.
Okay. When at the start of all this, for a long time, for months, at least a couple of months, the CAT teams were not being called out to homes of people having mental health breakdowns. It's disgusting. Now, you might say, oh, well, you know, they would know, well, then they might have it, you know, you didn't want to spread anything. Well, if the CAT team had a dressed in a full suit, put the gloves on, put a mask on, stood at someone's door or stood at their porch even and just got the person to stand in their doorway, how is that a risk? And it would have saved many lives. That would have saved lives. So the lack of leadership, and it's right from the front, the lack of leadership by the government and other government departments or corporation departments, sorry, because they don't care. They really don't care. They make a song and dance like they care, but it's a puppet show. Deep down, they really don't care. Now, there's a lot of good workers in the industry that do care, but management do not care. Do not care. And I've worked in this field for long enough, mate, and I've sat in enough meetings, education department meetings, health department meetings. I've sat in enough of those meetings with enough management to know that they don't, at the end of the day, they don't care, and all they're concerned is the bottom line, is their budget, is their bottom dollar. That's all they care about. And what coffee scroll goes best with their chai latte at their next meeting. I've seen it way too many times, mate. Now, people might say that I'm being a bit harsh. No, that's the facts. Because I won't ignore the elephant in the room and I'll address matters as they are. And the education department has showed no leadership in this whatsoever in schools, not one bit. They've left the schools out to dry and fend for themselves because they're a bunch of raving socialists in there who've just got an agenda, as simple as that. In 2016, and this is something you can research yourself on the Freedom of Information, so it's quite there to research. In 2016 alone, the education department had 26 out-of-court law settlements. 26. That's two a month. That's two a month because they're all about not being in the papers. Now, that's a little bit off what we're trying to talk about here, but I just wanted to, if I could, Tim, just, there's going to be a lot of people concerned tomorrow about going out in public and being scared of fined about not having a mask. Would be a fair assumption to make, yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. The government's guidelines on the DHHS website. I might just do a screen share.
Yeah.
For a moment. These are the key points here. It's infants and children under the age of 12 are not required to wear a face covering due to the risk of choking. It is not safe for them to wear a mask. But the previous advice from Brett Sutton on face covering said under 18. And he also said that scarves and bandanas don't protect you, but you can still use a scarf or bandana. That's legal to cover your face with that. So is it about just seen to be doing something, or is it actually about health? Because there's no requirement for you to say wash your mask or whatever.
That was the last. So it's about how do you control people? You confuse them. You fill them full of fear, and you confuse them. And that's exactly what's happening with the website at the moment. That's exactly why the media are giving this message about what stage lockdown it is, because you get people confused and questioning. Oh, I don't understand this. So when you're confused and when you're fearful, you're more likely to conform. You're more likely to go along. And that is the whole thing. Because people right now, just that's a perfect example to use. Right now, when you're saying, oh, 1 minute says this, 1 minute, the normal person, when I say normal, people who are apathetic.
Or just busy living their lives trying to get by. That's how I describe them.
Yeah, which is why we've become so apathetic, Tim, and which is why that the corruption has been, and I'll put my hand up and admit blame as well too, and I take more responsibility as that because I'm 52 years old, so I should have stuck my, I mean, look, I've been saying things for a long time, I've been researching this stuff for well over 20 years, but I should have been more proactive a long time ago. That is part of the agenda that's taken place. This has been planned out for a long, long time. This goes back to 1986 with the Australia Act, the biggest act of treason ever committed on this country. And by the way, anyone watching, that documentary is coming along well. My time's just been so much consumed with other things.
I don't know about the documentary, so I'd like to know just a brief.
Yeah, with myself and another gentleman, Barry, filming a documentary exposing the act of treason, what the 1986 Australia Act was. It'll make you sick to the stomach, but it goes right back to there. So my point is, I've sort of got off the track a little bit, but it's all designed for fear and control. And this is, as we know, Tim, this is no longer about a virus because the figures do not add up. Nothing makes sense. Now, the cases might have gone up. There's no transparency. Now, I don't know about you, but this is the most testing time in not only in this country but in the world that we've had for quite some time. Or people of your generation, I mean, people that have lived through wartime and all the rest of it. This country alone, this is probably the most testing time, arguably. So you need, within your leadership, you need transparency so that the community can have faith and comfort that the decisions you're making are true and correct. There's no transparency. What? Why? What? Out of the 300 and so such and such cases, how many tested false positive? How many have recovered since then? How many are elderly? We want to know all that. There's no transparency. And when there's no transparency, it's always because you're hiding something. And if you're hiding something, that's disingenuous. So why should we have our lives dramatically controlled by disingenuous, dishonest people? Look, it's just logic, but we can't see logic these days, Tim, because we're so drawn to the drama, drawn to the emotion side of it. Life's pretty sound. This is one of the things I teach people in my teachings. It's like, any decision is easy to make when you take the emotion out of it. What makes decisions hard is the emotion attached to it. So we've got a whole bunch of people right now dealing with living on emotion and not logic. But what I wanted to do, I don't know, have you touched on people's rights in terms of dealing with the police and things like that tomorrow if they get harassed for not wearing a mask?
I've spoken to people such as Nick Patterson from Empowerment Solutions, so yeah. I'm familiar with the way to respond. But I'll allow you to re-educate the audience and myself.
Yeah, well, hopefully most of the viewers watching tonight know as well too, because Nick knows that side of things better than me, believe me. So he's very, very knowledgeable. But just one of the messages, I guarantee Nick would have told you to keep it short. Don't engage in the conversation because that's what they want. Okay, am I under arrest? No, you're not. Okay, so I'm free to go. Have I committed a crime? What's the crime? Breaking the COVID laws. No, that's not a crime. They're directions, not laws. Okay. May I see your ID? No, you may not. I have not really committed a crime. I'm in no obligation to give you my ID. I have not committed a crime, so I'm free to go. Thank you. They cannot arrest you, okay? Remind them of the ruling of Justice Stephen Kay in the Melbourne court, and it was Hemingway versus the police, DDP, okay? And remind them of the Justice Stephen Kay's ruling that if a person not under arrest has no obligation to stop for police or answer their questions, the conferring on, this is what Justice Stephen Kay said, and there is no statute that removes that right. The conferring of such a power on a police officer would be a substantial detraction from the fundamental freedoms which have been guaranteed to the citizen by the common law for centuries. This is from a Supreme Court justice in a Supreme Court. That's a higher authority than the police. So just remind them of that, because you can only ever be apprehended or placed under arrest if you've committed a crime. For there to be a crime, there has to be a victim or an injured party or a violation of a contract. Neither three apply to not wearing a mask. And they have to prove, the proof of burden is on them. If they expect people to walk around with doctor certificates, they're kidding themselves.
Well, that's not clear at the moment. They don't even say if you have a reasonable excuse. So they're going to say, papers, please, your medical certificate. You're supposed to carry that in your wallet.
Where did you hear that?
Yeah, I think everyone knows where papers, please is from.
Yeah, exactly. And ring up and dob in a person not wearing a mask, ring up and dob in a Jew. Same thing. No offense to the Jewish, but I didn't mean that in a derogatory term, but just that was the expression used back then. So,
dividing the community as well. You had children who dob in their parents, and This is thankfully in this second wave, we've seen a lot less, I would say, public confrontations, because I think the public are aware that this virus isn't as deadly as they were initially told, but they're still accepting and sucking up this second lockdown and say, oh, we've just got to wait for a vaccine, or I suppose it's for our benefit, which is the absolutely worst attitude to have. Just accept and say, oh, well, government have got our best interests at heart. No, government is all about wanting to seem like they're doing the right thing, and they have a hero complex.
Oh, the police.
Oh, I'm talking about the government have a hero complex.
Oh, well, the government.
Especially socialist governments.
Well, they are. They're all globalists and they're all communists. I mean, you want to just listen to a gentleman, Ricardo Bosi, who spent with the Australian One Party, who spent, you know, the best part of his life in the military. Yeah, ask him about that topic. But it is full of globalists, and we have been infiltrated. And that's what I said to you before, Tim. I feel it's like people ask me why I do what I do. It's not what I do, it's who I am. I've always helped people my whole life, and I've been exposed to government corruption since I was 10 years old, when my father got run over by a group of young guys on a motorbike and they weren't charged because one of the young fellas was a police sergeant's son at the local police station. So that all got swept under the carpet and the investigation didn't go any further. So I've dealt from that. Now, I don't need counselling, I'm fully fine with it, but what it's done is it's driven me. But what I just want to say is, on the police, they work on fear. So when they come and ask you questions, they're trying to contract you as a corporation. Don't enter into their questions. They are fishing. They are trying to fish for responses so you step into doing into incriminating yourself, which you can't do in this regard, but they will keep fishing. If they're even inside, that's their inside term for things, is what they joke with each other. You know, they're going fishing. It's a well-known term they use within the force. So, and they'll do it all the time. And some of them are good at it because they've been at it for a while. Don't engage with it. You have got just as many rights. You've got more rights than the police have got. Because all the police are, what people get stuck on is, oh, it's the law. No.
They just passively accept that what they're being told by the police is true, and that they have to comply.
Exactly, because some police officer might quote some act or whatever, and go, oh, yeah, no, this, no. You ask them what section that act's in for starters, and they can't tell you. Some of them can, all right. Some of the ones that have actually researched, but I wouldn't advise getting into a knowledge debate, because if you get someone who does know a little bit, you'll end up doing more harm than good for yourself. So keep it simple. Keep it clear. Am I under arrest? No. Okay, has been a crime committed? No. Am I under arrest? No, so I'm free to go. Thank you very much, officer. I did not have to give you my details. Also, mention Justice Stephen Kane, the ruling from the Supreme Court, November 2011. Okay, mention that. You are in no obligation to stop if you have not committed a crime. Not wearing a mask in public is not a crime. I've got a health reason for not wearing one, officer. Where's your proof? I don't need it. If you're stating that what I'm saying is untrue, it is your burden of proof is on you to prove that it's untrue.
And this is another thing that annoys me about the stay-at-home orders, that the police are asked to use discretion, which if you're out exercising, they're the judge of whether it's exercise, or they're the judge of whether you're out shopping for essentials, and they can.
Well, it's subjective. Now, when this all first started, now this is where they use, like, just because this is annoys me as well too. Sometimes I overhear people saying, "Oh, well, Andrew said." Screw what Andrew said. He's a compulsive liar and he's a raving sociopath. Like, he doesn't care about you. He just gets up there and lies. He's a power tripper, and this is just a game for him to see how far he can control people. That's all this is about for this sick, pathetic freak.
Yeah. And especially with all these threats about, oh, I might need to go further, or I might need to, you know, we're not children.
He got up in that first stage of the lockdown and said that you could not sit. That was a lie. That was a lie. There was nowhere in the stay-at-home directions or there was nowhere in the restricted activities directions that it says you couldn't sit. He also lied about travelling kilometres. You go, you can only travel a few suburbs. Remember when a young learner driver early on got fined for being too far
away? There's nothing. In the, what is it, the second lockdown, it says unreasonable travel. Again, that's subjective.
Exactly. Now, also, what I will, this going out of your suburb is nonsense. You can go.
Because yeah.
As part of the clauses, now just sort of read you this. Reasons to leave premises, and this is valid, leaving premises to obtain necessary goods or services. A person may leave the premises. Now, they talk about the four reasons, right? There's more than four reasons, about six. And one of those is clause six, leaving premises to obtain necessary goods or services, section B, goods and services for health and medical purposes. Health, mental health's a massive issue in society. The chief health officer, sorry, the Minister for Health came out last week and said we had 1,000 suicides. I need to travel out to my space where I feel well for my mental health, and you can go and try and dispute that, officer. So, you know, there's work purposes as well too. Now, I had a conversation with a lady last night, and she was under the assumption that work purposes meant paid work. No, no, no. So don't let them try and lie to you. Some police will, some of the ones that are born into this will. Okay, so the work is, just let me read that for you, mate. We'll do that in here. It basically says for work or volunteer, work purposes, that means paid and volunteer. So volunteering counts as working as well too. Now, some people work about two or three jobs these days. They need to work after hours and on weekends as well too. Some people do. So once again, okay, so if you need to go and do that because you are working either paid or voluntary, because voluntary work is work, especially right now out in the community where people need help, need assistance, and you can travel for compassionate grounds as well too. You might need to travel to someone who's having a really bad day and having a massive breakdown. They're by themselves. You're not going to leave them by themselves. Of course you're going to go and drive, even if it's over to the other side of the city. And no one's got any right to stop you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this whole lockdown is about health. So you're going to... And for all this talk about mental health and domestic violence, for example, you know what would solve that? Not having the lockdown.
Exactly. Exactly. Mates, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, I've certainly appreciated you making time. And you mentioned Facebook is starting to shadow ban you. They took down the 99% Unite main group. Was it yesterday, and banned Fanos from live streaming for 7 days. He's currently using a backup account. Rafael Fernandez, he hasn't been affected, though he was an admin for the group.
No, I spoke to Raf about it yesterday and gave him a couple of suggestions. So, but mate, can I just personally thank you for what you're doing as well too? Because you are massive in terms of getting people in. Everyone that jumps on and puts their head out there like you are is brave. Okay, so well done. And that's brave, mate, because you know, there's no doubt you'll cop ridicule. And going forward, as this thing progresses, no doubt you'll cop ridicule. But you've managed to you know, as well, that's just part of it. And, mate, good, more power to you. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Craig. I've been a freedom activist for many years, so all the hits that I've got, they've just made me stronger, and I've noticed that with Fanos and Raf. And just before you go, it was a coincidence that this hit piece appeared in the Daily Mail and The Australian on Fanos and Raf, but they blurred your face out. Were they scared of you or something?
But mate, I have, someone sent me that, and I absolutely pissed myself laughing because it's like, well, mate, I know it's not a good looking head, but they didn't have to go to that extreme. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but they call, what was the headline? They said the sick online virus deniers. Well, what's a virus denier?
Yeah, what's a virus denier? Is that like a clown denier?
Mm. The people not wearing masks tomorrow, they're calling them anti-maskers. They're just as bad.
Anti-maskers. Yes. Right. So now I'm an anti-vaxxer and an anti-masker.
Mm. Well, we did have that news about that Oxford University vaccine trial. It looks very promising, but then, well, how is it going to be administered? And if it's administered, are they going to give people their freedom back? I don't see that being the silver bullet.
No, that's a, mate, that is a, yeah, that's going to be another bridge that we, that I'm preparing for as well too. And it's... So the plan is, before I go, so the globalist plan is to get rid of all the states around the country, and you can see them slowly starting to try and do that now with blocking the border. So this is just a test run. What people need to understand is it is a test run for what is going to happen later. This is a test run. The virus, as we've established, it's no killer virus. This is just it's a smoke screen to be used to assert more control over us, to execute their Agenda 2130 plan. It's as simple as that. So, where was I going with that? It's going to get a lot, mate. This is just a test run, and it will get a lot worse unless we make change. But that's what people like yourself and me and Thanos and Raph and the Romeo up in Sydney and a whole bunch of other people around the country are doing some fantastic work. But how would you feel, Tim and viewers, how would you feel about a platform that you could be live streamed with alternative news and news that exposes the truth? How would you feel about that? Would that be a great thing?
Oh, everyone would love it, and there's certainly a lot of people who are already working to that goal, because your time on Facebook is numbered, just like it was for the Patriot Movement beforehand. Same with Twitter as well, and I know that there are some alternatives such as Telegram, Parler, Gab, and BitChute.
On a much bigger scale than that, and look, I think it's much needed. So, but it's funny how things just manage to pop up out of nowhere. Sometimes they're not so good, sometimes they're absolutely amazing. So, I don't know, maybe keep a lookout for something like that on the cards coming up, mate.
Yep, definitely. So if you are still allowed on Facebook, like Craig's page, no consent, I do get the notifications for it still. So, and I still get Raph's notifications as well.
No consent for We Are Young and Free. If the page gets taken down, guys, well, firstly, Facebook are going to have a massive lawsuit against them, because what they don't realise is in the in the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities,
the Victorian one. Yeah, section. they passed that. The Bracks government when human rights were actually cool to the progressives.
Yeah. Wow.
They're actually finding it to be a hindrance now, because they're like, oh, we can't actually force people to take a COVID test now because of that pesky charter.
Correct. So, and also Facebook can't be censoring people because they're actually breaking Victorian legislation by doing so. So, which is liable to be sued. So it's pretty crystal clear. And I don't care what their little terms and conditions say. Their terms and conditions can't override local laws.
Well, that's why they're based in Ireland or whatever. They try to being a globalist organization, they use that to get out of any sort of local laws.
Yeah, because any decent lawyer will rip that to shreds in a courtroom.
Well, that's the key, getting those decent lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think even, who was the bloke from the castle? What was his name?
Derek Kerrigan, but sadly that is not a true story.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
Dennis could try that case and still win. It's that watertight, it's not funny. You can't do it, Facebook.
Well, I know that Laura Loomer over in the US, she's taking Facebook to court over deeming her a dangerous individual. She's a fighter and revealing a lot of inconsistencies in that policy. So she's showing it can be done. So
she'll win.
And I hope she gets elected to Congress as well this November in Florida.
I would love to see Candace Owen in Congress as well too, actually. So she's fantastic. So
maybe in a few years. But Laura Loomer and Enrique Terrio, Proud Boys chair in Florida, if they can both get into the next Congress, that'd shake things up.
I think it will. But those guys have got a lot to get through right now at the moment as well too. But at least they have a much stronger constitution than what we do. So
yeah, true.
Love your work. Love what you do. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so humbled. And thank you to everyone for your support. Every message that you send me, every comment adds a lot of fuel to the fire. So thanks heaps. And we'll keep fighting. There's no other option. What people need to understand is get comfortable being uncomfortable. Every day is a challenge. Every day is a struggle. We are up for it. We are up for it. You can be tougher than what we can be tougher than what we think we can be.
Well, that's what's inspired me about the new freedom activists such as yourself, Fanos and Raf. The government, they can beat some people down, but there will always be more people who'll rise up again.
This government is not capable of beating someone like me down, mate. Not capable. Because I don't get intimidated by cowards. It's as simple as that. I don't get intimidated by anyone, but especially cowards. Mate, I've got to go. Sorry to cut it short. Thank you so much. And keep fighting, my brother. Keep fighting. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, you as well.
You're welcome.
I'll see ya.
See you, mate.
This is Will's Run, brought to you by theunshackled.net.
All right, so Jared, welcome to Wilms Front.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Now, so you were during when the New South Wales Victorian border was closed. It was only 2 weeks ago. Now was it?
It was only a couple of weeks. So
it closed on the Tuesday at 11:59 PM for Victorians. So going back 2 weeks ago, that would have been the 7th of July.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Yeah.
Were you arrested and detained on the Tuesday or the Wednesday?
The Wednesday. I was there the following morning.
Now you've been featured on the mainstream media during your arrest and when you fronted court. I'll just play this 7 News clip, which is only 20 seconds long.
A Victorian man is facing 6 months jail for breaching the border closure with New South Wales. Jared Searby was stopped at Corowa by officers who tried to help him get a permit, but he refused. A court has been told the 34-year-old doesn't believe in coronavirus or the laws trying to stop it spreading.
Now, they said that you don't believe in coronavirus. That's what they said. But what's your position?
Well, that wasn't quite a true statement. It was actually, I never actually said that I didn't believe in COVID. I said that it was, over the measures were overreach of the troubles that they're causing. So I don't think that, the ends justify the means in this case.
Now, police, it says in that report that police said they'd help you get a permit, and you obviously didn't take them up on that offer of assistance. The hacks in the news, and a lot of people sitting at home would say, well, why not just apply for a permit? Why do you have to cause such a scene?
Well, I suppose that's the easy answer, isn't it? But yeah, if everyone just let that happen, then yeah, we'd be in trouble. So they're taking our rights, you know, little bit by little bit. And yeah, the more people that accept it, the bigger the problem's going to be. So I couldn't accept it anymore. And yeah, that was where I drew my line in the sand. So I knew going to the border what I was in for and what was going to happen. But it was a decision I made willingly.
As you're aware, I had Craig Cole on before, who's a Melburnian like me. You're a Wodonga resident. When I say thankfully, it's still crap that all of Victoria is still in some form of lockdown, but the stay-at-home house arrest orders weren't applied to rural and regional Victoria. So up in Wodonga, you can leave your house, come and go as you please. There's the restrictions on private gatherings. You're only allowed 5 house guests, outdoor gatherings of 10, and pubs, restaurants and cafes 20. So you can still go to the pub for a drink or cafe for a bite to eat or a cappuccino. So you've still got that freedom. Can you describe what it's like at Wodonga? Like, is there some normality, or do people still feel constrained?
No, mate, it's pretty normal up here, to be honest with you. I don't see many people sort of socially distancing or wearing masks or, yeah, acting too funny about the whole thing at all. So I think in the country areas, people are starting to wake up and realise that it's not all that it's meant to be. So yeah, you go down the main street of Albury or Wodonga and it's just a normal day, mate. Yeah.
I can hear you a bit better now. You're still muffled from time to time. So when you were speaking then, that was much better.
All right. Well, hopefully it stays better from now on.
And now I might go to the current active COVID cases in Victoria via local government area. Now, they were supposedly having this, it was called a ring of steel around greater metropolitan Melbourne and Mitchellshire, which was going to prevent the virus from going into the regions. Well, that would appear to have failed if you
follow the news.
So this is current active cases, and you can see that the purple is a local government area which has active coronavirus cases. The grey, there are no active cases, none in Wodonga at the moment, which is good. But you can see in metropolitan in Melbourne, while the hotspots are still in the northwest. Where the initial lockdown is, where I am, Frankston. Well, we've got 12 active cases. This is still actually yesterday's figures. They still haven't updated it here, but it's just going by yesterday. Mornington Peninsula, they have got 11 active cases. But this is the point that I'm getting at. I'm trying to communicate to our audience. The people who are saying, trust us, we know how to contain the virus. If you obey, do what we say, it's going to be contained. Well, the ring of steel around metropolitan Melbourne, it's spreading out.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. I think the numbers are inflated anyway, so I don't believe any of the numbers or anything that they put out, because they can't be sure of it. You know, they've stated themselves on government websites multiple times that the tests aren't accurate or they're not reliable because of limited evidence to support it. So, you know, when the government's admitting that the tests aren't 100%, well, how can you trust anything they say?
I notice in the YouTube live chat, as always, with Wilmsfront on YouTube and DLive, you can ask a question or send through a super chat on Entropy. And I've also got a poll question. Will you be wearing a mask? And that is an open question because, yeah, you don't have to wear masks in Wodonga, though you're encouraged to because, well, the advice in rural and regional Victoria, if you can't socially distance the 1.5 metres, then wear a mask. Have you seen many masks around Wodonga, or has there been a run on masks at the local supermarkets or chemists?
I won't be wearing a mask. Last time I obviously had to wear one in court, as the media quite happily pointed out. But yeah, as I explained when I was on Neil's show, the mask was made to, yeah, it was put on me while I was in the cells, and then I was handcuffed and I wasn't allowed to leave the cells till it was on. And when I tried to remove it during the process of walking to the court, they proceeded to put it back on my face and informed me if I tried that again, I'd be back to the cells. So in that case, I had no choice. But no, I don't see many masks around. You see the odd person with one, but they seem to be a bit of an outlier around here.
Oh, well, that's good to see that the fear hasn't seeped into rural and regional Victoria. What about the local police there? Obviously, there's still the border there. But local police, are they still responding to calls to the snitch line about too many people at a private gathering, or checking up on pubs and restaurants to see how many the patrons they've got?
Yeah, I have heard of a couple of the pubs around here copping fines. I don't think you'll find too many people in the country ringing the snitch line. It's probably more of a city thing, but they are trying to enforce it. The borders are absolutely crazy. I mean, they got their police everywhere, army. They're now bringing in sniffer dogs. I mean, for a border lockdown, why need sniffer dogs? But it's a sign of intimidation. It's really gone above and beyond. It's crazy.
So the sniffer dogs, do they have doggy masks on? Because what last thing? Because that's the thing. We know that this coronavirus or COVID-19, it came from bats. So if the sniffer dogs, the last thing we want is like another animal to human virus. I'm being a bit facetious here, but you get my point.
I do, but I don't know how they decided that it comes from bats in the first place. So they say that they don't know who patient one is, who the first person is. So if they don't know who the first person to have it actually is, how do they know where it come from? I have heard of people worried about their pets because of it, and even about the Chinese throwing them out of their windows, apparently. So, yeah, I hope the dogs are tested.
Now, I noticed in the live chat here from Bieber Anti-Bullying, who said, imagine if Tim gets COVID and dies. Well, I know that Bieber Anti-Bullying watches all of my shows, so he'd be fully aware that I got the flu last winter during the winter of 2019. Was a literal killer flu season. 900 Australians died. I got the flu. Your mate Neil Erickson got the flu. Blair Cottrell got the flu. David Hiscock and Maddie Rose from XYZ Live. They all got the flu. And it was absolutely horrible. But I knew I wasn't going to die. And I noticed that to scare young people about getting the coronavirus now, the old scare was that, oh, you may be fine, but you might kill your grandmother, even though, well, we have grandmothers and grandfathers dying in supposedly secure aged care facilities, which is, it's obviously not family members who are infecting them. But they're trying to say to young people, the coronavirus will cripple your organs for the rest of your life. Well, as I just mentioned, with the horrible flu we all had last winter, yes, it was horrible, but we knew we weren't going to die, and all my organs work fine. The only thing, well, I don't know if this is a link, but maybe it's just because I've entered my 30s now. I can't drink as much as I used to. I don't know if the flu affected my liver or something, but I don't think, I hardly think. Maybe that's just getting old.
Yeah. Well, I'd say so. I think they're just trying to scare people any way they can. So some of the claims have been outrageous. So yeah, I remember at the start they said that it was what did they say? It was AIDS crossed with the flu or something like that. So they tried to tell people basically if you catch corona, you're catching AIDS. So I think the fear tactics are definitely what they're relying on to keep people in check here. Not only fear of the virus, but fear of the reprisal from the police as well if you tend to go against it, or fear of the public even for being shamed and humiliated for not believing the media hype. So it shocks me that people still listen to what the media say after all all the stories and evidence that's come out. But there's some people that just they'll never see the light. So what can you do for them?
Well, the media was busy out shaming people for being out and about last week. With Craig Cole, we talked about 7News using hospital footage from overseas and implying that it was filmed in Melbourne's in intensive care, and then also hospital staff putting a ventilator on a dummy. But 9News, they've been the worst at basically just harassing people out on the street to ask why they're out. Now, I'll just play these two people here. You won't be able to hear them, Jared, but the audience will. But I'm sure most of our audience have seen the Brighton lady at the Tan, and also the Greek guy from Frankston in Oakley. But I'll refresh your memory here.
Well, you get sick of walking the same streets. I've done all of Brighton.
What's up,
I'm from Frankston.
You've driven all the way here?
Yep.
What, aren't you supposed to be staying in Frankston?
No, why would I?
Because of coronavirus restrictions.
No one going to stop me from coming up here. There was no one up here.
So
I always come up here to do my shopping. I always do the Greek shopping because I'm Greek.
Are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
So you could be fined for coming here from Frankston?
Is that right?
Are you worried or concerned about that?
Not really.
All right.
I wear a mask.
You're not wearing one right now.
No, but I will.
Now, those two, they shouldn't have spoken to the media in the first place. Mainstream media reporters with microphones aren't the police. They're the Brighton lady. She was called Karen from Brighton. But if you actually know the definition of a Karen, she is not one. She's more a Prue from Brighton. She's the daughter of Pokies magnate Bruce Atkinson and is married into the Grollo family, and she didn't care about the social shaming on social media and Daniel Andrews referencing her about not going too far out of your suburb. She just thought it was a hoot. But obviously she wants to exercise, and so for some people a change of scenery is beneficial to their exercise routine.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. So I don't know how they're going to enforce any of their rules or regulations. It's the same with our permit up here. You have to state where you're going in the state. But see, I'm a contractor, so I get one address to put on my permit to say where I'm going to be. And that doesn't quite cover it. So today I crossed the border 50 k's from where my permit said it was going to be, and they didn't even look at it. So as long as you've got that bit of paper, they're just letting you through, which is absolutely ridiculous to me.
Is this through the Victorian New South Wales border?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, we had to sign on the new permit that we have. It says during our time in New South Wales, we will maintain good hand hygiene. We will maintain physical distancing. We will minimise contact with others. We will not have passengers accompanying us into New South that do not have a permit. And we will keep a log of our movements, and including our rest stops, and notify our workplace. So, they've upped the ante a bit on this one. They've increased the jail term for trying from 6 months to 2 years, and they've increased the fine from $11,000 to $22,000. So, they're definitely trying to intimidate people to not. Yeah, not do what I've done, for sure.
Well, that's probably after your arrest, they probably thought, well, we don't want any more rogue people like that. So, well, this is what governments do. If they want to crack down on something, for just increase the fines and double the jail time.
Yeah, that's right, and try to scare people into complying. So when they put it on news, me and my wife actually we went onto Facebook and we read a lot of the comments and stuff that, you know, people have left about the about my case, and obviously the media didn't portray me in a good light, and there was hundreds of comments that were, you know, obviously not the nicest. But me and my wife sat there, we laughed our head off. There were some funny comments, and I found it very entertaining that all these people, very uneducated in the Constitution and our rights, sat there and told me that, you know, I was dumb for doing what I'd done and how stupid I was. But, you know, I see them as not having an understanding of the Constitution. So them claiming for me to be dumb while at the same time being wrong, it was highly amusing. Lots of comment about my hair too, which I found enjoyable.
Well, this is what I've been talking about and why I've been giving out a lot of information about the lockdown rules and your rights, because people are passive and just sucking it up and believe what the media tells them about the lockdown, because it's like, even with what Dan Andrews says about the lockdown rules, the media even twist what he said to make out that there's more lockdown rules as they are. For example, there is no mask mandate. It is face coverings, which is you don't, and so it can be a bandana or a scarf, or even, and this is what Dan Andrews himself said, even a handkerchief. You can just strap a handkerchief to your face and you're complying with the law. There was a photo of some guy who was out shopping who put a pair of underwear on his head. He made sure that it covered his nose and his mouth. The sides were where his eyes. And this is the other option you can have with the mask mandate, because face covering mandate, even I fell into the trap there, is that you can be quite creative with it, because you now legally have to cover your face, and you can actually look like, you know, one of those Wild West bank robbers or saloon bandits if you want to. That's legal now.
It's funny that that's become legal, while crossing the border and stuff like that isn't. It's sort of like putting up a chain link fence to keep out mosquitoes. So
there was the old joke with the first lockdown, with you're only allowed to be out in public with one other person, and there was that mock headline that Daniel Andrews limits a gang home invasions to two members. Now, what if you call the police if a gang's entering your home, hypothetically, if they're maintaining social distancing, and now it's important for these gangs to have masks when they're entering the home invasion.
Well, they're going to need them now, so at least they have an excuse when it's in their pocket anyway.
And I'm not sure, obviously you're friends with Neil, so you'd be familiar with the history of the Patriot Movement over the past 5 years, but a lot of the United Patriots Front rallies, which were countered by Antifa, there are a lot of face coverings used there, and there's actually laws against face coverings in, was it, designated areas, and they did that in response to the rallies and counter rallies, and it just shows the priorities depending on what is the issue of the day.
Yeah, which agenda they're pushing, yeah. Yeah, no, they definitely chop and change a lot. They want to take as many of our freedoms as they can, and that's where they're going with this. So unless we stand up and start fighting back now, it's going to get out of hand. So that's what we intend to do.
Now, going back to that Greek guy that was interviewed by Nine News, a lot of people in the chat lolled at him. I'm not sure if you've seen him there. He was in Oakley, which is the Greek hub in the south. Greek hub in Melbourne is in the north, in Epping. That's where Phanos, he is based. He was at, I think, Epping Plaza today at the shopping centre to check out who was wearing masks and who wasn't, and he was asking the people why who weren't wearing masks what informed your decision not to wear a mask. But the Nine News girl, whoever she was, said, "Oh, why are you up here from Frankston in Oakley? Don't you care about coronavirus? Or you might get fined." And he said, "Well, because I'm Greek, I do my Greek shopping here." And he had a Cypriot shirt on. So what's that Nine News lady saying? She's basically being culturally insensitive, saying that because he can't get his cultural essentials because he's too far away from Oakley, and he's also it's come to light, a VCE teacher, and I would have loved a teacher like that. He seems a hoot.
Yeah, I actually missed that one. I haven't seen it yet, so I'll make sure I have a look once we're finished here, and yeah, I'll see what it's all about.
Mm. Now, going on to your case, we actually, I'm not sure if you even know what you've actually been charged with.
No, it's an offence. It's failing to comply with COVID direction 789, COVID-19. So I don't really know what that means, and I haven't found that direction in any of my searches, but I'm sure they'll try to explain it to me. Well, actually, I was at court Monday, and we actually went very well. The news didn't quite put across our full story, but we went in and we had a good response. The judge actually had me escorted from court, which wasn't the best end, but yeah, we claim it as a victory. So we went in and we asked the court if the constitution was still a valid act in the court, and he wouldn't answer me. He said, "I won't hear any talk of the constitution in this court." And I repeated the question. I said, "Your Honour, is the constitution valid law in this court today?" And when he refused to answer me, I then informed him that if the constitution wasn't valid, then he was pretty much denying the state of New South Wales' existence, because the state of New South Wales is a creature of the constitution. So he wasn't very happy with that, and he demanded I make a plea, which I refused to do. And I informed him I haven't had full disclosure of all the evidence. I said, "Your Honour, how can I make a plea?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to enter a plea of not guilty for you." So I said, "I don't consent to that plea." And yeah, we had a bit of a back and forth there. I then asked him to move it to the High Court and said I needed a form, 78B, Section 18, to be completed. And he just tried to motion it for an adjournment. I then, I told him that he wasn't allowed to do that, that he had a duty of the court to put the case aside till the Attorney General's had a chance to review my case and decide whether to intervene or not, which he again ignored me and asked the sheriff to remove me from court. So in doing so, he actually forgot to continue my bail. Didn't ask me to sign any paperwork, so he released me without bail. So there goes them conditions, and yeah, put it off for another day. But the day they put it off for is the day after the federal election. So I think that they're trying to postpone it until after the lockdown, which they know when that's going to finish. And yeah, they're going to try to sweep it all under the carpet.
Do you mean next federal or state election? Because the next Victorian state election, November 2022, the next federal election will either be late 2021 or early 2022.
I'd have to check which one it is, because it wasn't me that told me it was the day after, but I'll have a look into that. Yeah.
And this is the thing, that you've asserted your rights and they've basically become perplexed, and this is what they're not counting on. Because we still don't know whether all these fines were legally issued, because we saw the New South Wales reinstated Arts Minister, Don Harwin. He was fined for going to his holiday house on the Central Coast. He challenged it, got thrown out. And that's the first fine challenge that I've heard of, and obviously it crumbled.
Yeah, well, that should set a precedent for the rest of them, shouldn't it? So none of these fines are legal or should stick, and I feel sorry for the people that are paying them and not disputing them, because, they don't have to pay. They just need to have 10 minutes research to find out, what's going on. A lot of these people haven't even scratched the surface to see, so if they started to do that, they might find some answers, yeah.
Now, I noticed that there was a Sydney law firm which gained a lot of publicity here, G&B Lawyers. They are offering to represent people who might be issued with the $200 fine for not wearing a face covering or not carrying a face covering. And now the initial post has been taken down due to a request of New South Wales Law Society. The partner of this law firm, Nathan Buckley, has said, "I take full responsibility and accountability for the post that has made media attention worldwide. It was not the provision of legal advice, it was the expression of my own personal political beliefs that as citizens of Australia, I have an implied freedom of political communication, which is protected by the Constitution. My position remains that any law that attempts to mandate wearing of a face mask in Australia is unlawful and a breach of the Constitution. This is my own political belief, it is not an expression of law or for the provisions of legal advice from GMP lawyers. Thank you for your understanding. Regards, Nathan Buckley." I went further down, and this is what GNB lawyers they posted on 19th of July. "Now hiring a criminal lawyer based in Victoria must have experience in challenging fines in courts. Expect 6 million or so fines against individual for not wearing a mask. I'd like to see 6 million fines issued. Apply to Nathan Buckley at nbuckley@gnblawyers.com.au. Must be available to start ASAP." Well, I hope they do hire somebody. And I noticed that GNB Lawyers is also launching a class action or attempting for an injunction against South Australia's no jab, no play policy for schools and childcare. So not
all... Let's hope they have success in that.
Yeah, not all lawyers and legal firms are all lefty, a fake human rights law firms.
No, well, there's got to be a few good ones out there, doesn't there? So there's definitely too many people to all be gone, but yeah, we have a few left.
Yep. So I was actually surprised that there was a law firm that was prepared, well, a legal partner that was prepared to stand up like that. It was a, what do you call it, a shock of joy.
Yeah, well, it's good. They're definitely putting their reputation on the line, which is, it's good to see. It's a hard thing to do, like the bloke who before me said about you, you know, with your show, and, you know, you get a lot of slack yourself. So, as you know, yeah, once you put yourself out there, there's going to be people to abuse you, and something Neil's always warned me about, and I've seen him go through over the years. So, yeah, good on them for standing up and, yeah, being accountable.
Neil or Senator Slayer wanted me to ask this super chat of Craig Cole, but we just had limited time. But are you able to help him with his case with the Homo police talking with the witnesses and creating a charge instead of investigating a crime? They've solicited a charge. My defense is religious freedom. I'm sure you know which case he is referring to.
I do, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm happy to help that man any way he needs it. So he's a good man. He's done a lot for me over the years. So anything he needs, I'm there to help him. Yeah, 100%.
And there's also I did read it out in the end, Neil, but not in the way that might not be satisfactory to you. We've also
sorry, Neil. I'll talk to you soon, mate.
We've also got another super chat from Peter Loves Triple Dex Butt Plugs for Australian $3.33, so triple three. "Some people around my area of Elwood have lost their mind over COVID. I saw a guy wearing nothing but a mask and a diaper, pissing on himself, screaming about right-wing conspiracies."
What neighbourhood was he from?
Elwood.
Elwood. Oh, there you go. It's definitely, there's a lot going on at the moment, and hopefully more people, your viewers and all the people that are attached to these movements know your rights and solutions empowerment and all these movements. Hopefully they all start to get together and, yeah, we can get some action here, because if we don't start fighting now, I think it's the last chance we're going to have to stop the socialist agenda or the globalist agenda, whatever you want to call it. This is the time. This is the last chance we'll get, and we need to do it now. So the more people that can get together and find an act that will take the power back from the government and give it to the people in even just a small way, just a win, just to show the government that the people have had enough and the people are about to stand up. So that's what we've got to organise, and hopefully something will come to fruition soon, yeah.
Well, with Neil Blair and the other patriots from United Patriots Front, True Blue Crew, the government has been trying to end the media and social media basically through demonization and through lawfare as well, beat them into submission, so crush their spirits and hope. But the thing is, there's always going to be new activists that pop up. So just when they thought they had made beaten the Patriot movement into submission, there's all these new freedom activists such as Craig Cole, who I interviewed before, Fanos, who I've interviewed, Rafael Fernandez, there's also Renee Altaki, and there's also Karen Brewer as well. There's so many that have popped up now, and you can't suppress the will to be free.
Definitely not. And they're all very good people, and I respect what they're all doing immensely. So, yeah, I wish them all the best. I hope they all do well.
I would say that even though, well, us Melburnians are suffering through this second lockdown, there have been some incredible big government and elite flops with this pandemic. The biggest is the COVID Safe app, which was supposed to be the ultimate contact tracer. You download it onto your phone, it makes a Bluetooth digital handshake. When someone's diagnosed, you're notified that you've been into contact with them. Hasn't, at least in Victoria, hasn't traced one coronavirus case.
Yeah, it shows what a waste of money it was, doesn't it? Yeah.
And a cashless society, that's definitely not going to happen. I did notice during the first wave, a lot of people just went for the tap and go, but I'm seeing cash being paid more and more when I'm out shopping.
That's good. That's a good thing. We need people to stop these agendas any way we can. So whatever little thing they do, whether it be use cash or not wear a mask, it's all a positive. Yeah.
Krishna Kushmara said, have banks installed COVID safes now? Well, funny that you're not allowed to wear a mask into a bank for security reasons, though you're allowed to wear... it's a bit confusing what it's going to be like in the supermarkets tomorrow, but you have to wear a face covering into a supermarket. And other retailers as well. And for example, JB Hi-Fi is still open, and they have a lot of expensive equipment there. And what, you have to wear a face covering to enter JB Hi-Fi?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I won't be going to JB Hi-Fi, then, that's for sure.
But you get my point that apparently a bank, it's a security issue there because there's lots of cash on premises. But JB Hi-Fi, which has a lot of other expensive goods, you're required to wear a face covering when entering. You get my point?
I do, yeah.
And the other thing about this face covering the mandate is that it applies outdoors, even when you're alone walking your dog or walking, when it's indoors where you have to be worried about. And as Dan Andrews and Brett and Sutton confessed today, it's workplaces such as distribution centres and, as we're seeing with the aged care homes, that's where people are contracting the virus. The essential frontline workers, that's how the virus is being transmitted, and I assume that's how it's getting into rural and regional Victoria and up into New South Wales as well.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, it's definitely. Well, if it's getting here, mate, I see the test, but I don't see this, I don't see that it's all corona or COVID-19. So, if it's getting anywhere, it may well be travelling that way, but I'm sceptical on the whole thing. Yeah, mate, look, I'm going to have to jump off because I've got another appointment now, but look, thank you very much for having me on. You do an amazing job. Hopefully I can come back on and we can test it first so I can get some footage because, it's hard to do, like this. So
the audience could hear you. That's the main thing.
That is the main thing. And I'd like to thank your audience too and encourage as many of them, out there as to, flout as many of these laws as they can. So definitely do not listen to the authorities in this case.
Well, as a responsible media organisation would not endorse that
statement. You could not condone that. I definitely would not recommend you to condone that at all. Yeah, but thank you very much for your time, Tim. It's been an honour to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, likewise. All right, stay safe, not from the coronavirus, but from big government.
Good on you, mate.
This is Will's Run, brought to you by theunshackled.net.
All right, coming up to 8:30 p.m. Melbourne time, so I bring the episode to a close. There's still a few things that on separate news stories that I want to cover here. Now, when I logged on to the Department of Health and Human Services Victorian website this afternoon, I was fascinated that there was another health alert for Victoria issued by Brett Sutton, the Chief Health Officer, and that is for congenital syphilis in Victoria. And so Victoria is experiencing an upsurge in syphilis, with reported cases of infectious syphilis increasing from 634 cases in 2014 to 670 cases in 2019. And we'll go down here, and it says who's at risk. Women who are at risk of having pregnancy complicated by syphilis include those who have more than one sexual partner, female partners of men who have sex with men, sex workers who do not get regularly tested for sexually transmitted diseases, people who use or inject drugs, women of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander origin, those with overseas sexual contacts, especially from countries with high prevalent rates of sexually transmitted diseases, those women presenting with any other sexually transmitted infection during pregnancy. Now, this is really perplexing that there's apparently a syphilis outbreak in Victoria when we're supposed to be all in lockdown, which by the lockdown's own rules, the only person that you're permitted to engage in intimate sexual relations with is your partner or spouse. So what's up with that? There's been clearly, obviously, a lot of bonking going on during the lockdown or restriction period. So what's going on with that? How is syphilis on the loose when we've all been at home isolating? So I'm just really confused about that. Now, some other news. Oh, I'd say some good news. More mainstream media is biting the dust. Bauer Media, which publishes a lot of Australian magazines, is closing 8 titles, including New Weekly and OK Magazines, which, of course, are the fake news celebrity infotainment magazines. Also, Men's Health, Women's Health, Good Health, Harper's Bazaar's L in Style, because who reads magazines anymore? I'm not sure when's the last time any of you purchased a magazine. Also, going overseas. Oh, no. Sorry. Staying in Australia a bit. Now, despite the fact that there have been 6 positive coronavirus cases in people who attended Melbourne's Black Lives Matter rallies, 2 lived in those lockdown public housing towers. In Sydney, they still want to, the Black Lives Matter organisations in Sydney still want to have a Black Lives Matter rally up there. And in Brisbane, Extinction Rebellion, a black back blocking the streets again, which I know that the lefties on Twitter are still in denial about how the rallies were dangerous because social distancing was clearly not it wasn't enforced at all, but it wasn't self-enforced by the protesters either. And, well, you've seen the consequence of the second wave in Greater Melbourne. So unless you deliberately want to hold a rally so that it spreads in Sydney and Brisbane, what the hell are you thinking? All right, now going overseas to the United States. And I know that the Antifa and communists in Portland are quite triggered at the moment because there's been a federal government crackdown on those thugs and vandals who've been attacking federal buildings and monuments, and federal agents rounding them up in the middle of the night and putting them in vans to arrest them and that, and they're called Trump's Gestapo because they're just disappearing people off the street. Well, my perspective is I think that's funny. Those Portland Antifa communist anarchists have been allowed by the mayor Ted Wheeler just to unleash terror on that city for far too long. And so I'm glad that the federal government is finally taking action, and I'm glad they feel triggered that they're being persecuted. That's funny to me. On a more concerning matter, New York Times, they have not learned anything from Barry Weiss's resignation. In fact, they've been in the process of doxing Fox News host Tucker Carlson's home address, and he's had to move house again. Luckily, he has the financial resources to do that, but that is really messed up. All right, that brings us to the end of the show for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll see what tomorrow is like with the face covering mandate. Will it be enforced out on the street and in the retailing outlets? Will fines be issued? Will we see some Karen-offs in retail outlets? Will we see some security tackle unmasked people to the floor to stop them coming in like we've seen in the United States? I think, thankfully, in Australia, for most of this time, we've avoided that situation. But treat your ordinary citizen on the street with respect, but give contempt to our leaders who are enforcing this draconian lockdown on us again as we see it, hardly any benefit. So that's my message for the end of the show. There'll be no Uncuckables for tomorrow night since David Hiscock from XYZ is taking a bit of a break. So we are planning to rejig it a bit in the next fortnight or so, but we're taking a break tomorrow. I myself will be back with Trad Tasman Talk, 6 p.m. Melbourne time on the Unshackled's YouTube channel. Keep checking the unshackled.net for our latest news articles, essays, and history content, and I will see you on Friday. Thank you again for watching. Stay safe and stay free.
Thanks for tuning in to Wilmsfront. Visit timwilms.com or rationalrisetv to view the archive of episodes. And keep visiting theunshackled.net to view all our shows. And to keep up with the latest real news and analysis.